Hello and thank you for joining us. This is Brian, your host of the Perish the Thought Show. The opinions of said host and our guests have not been sanitized or scientifically tested, so please consume at your own risk. Hey guys, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. One, it's free. Two, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Three, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many others. Four, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And five, it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. It is so stinking easy. So download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. You will not be disappointed.
Me today, Milo Solomon, the Burrito King and owner of Big Fat Lunchbox, coming to us all the way from Columbus, Montana. Welcome, sir. Thank you for joining me.
Oh, well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be on here with you, Brian.
Basically, I wanted to chat with you about just kind of your story and why you started Big Fat Lunchbox, and why don't you just want to have a job the rest of your life?
I don't know. I found that I kind of had ADD when it came to careers. I would go into a new career. Every job that I had was kind of like it was a career for somebody. They were all happy to have that job. And after about 2 years, I had this pattern of where I was all of a sudden dissatisfied, and I just was needing something else, needing something new. Either I was dissatisfied with how things were run above me. I started to realize that everybody there wasn't smarter than me. Or I just was kind of like just got bored. I had to move on. And I did realize that was me constantly looking for for something other than what I was doing. Obviously, I was just constantly looking, and I just felt like there was something else for me to be doing. I've always had an interest in food, and I've always had an interest in food trucks. And for many years, I drove a truck all over the country, and a lot of times down in industrial areas, the only thing you could get to eat was something off of a food truck. So I had a lot of experience with food trucks all over the country. And so it was always something in the back of my mind. I got off of the road and I ended up working for a mining company underground, and a very labor intensive job. But while I was down there, I'm doing my thing and kind of off in my own little world, I was constantly thinking about running my own food truck. So I took about 2 years and just studied everything that I could study. I bought a lot of books. I sat there. I did a lot of math. I watched a lot of TV shows, and I just did my homework. And everybody who came across me at work eventually got to know that I was not thinking about my job that I was at very often. I was thinking about food and running sandwich ideas by them. And eventually I just took the plunge, and I just kind of went for it, and it's really kind of turned into something for us. So that's kind of the general gist of how I got into it.
And I'm guessing that wasn't an easy transition. Maybe a little scary?
Super scary. I just decided I'm going to burn my bridges, and I'm just going to go for it. And I left the mine on good terms. I mean, when I say burn bridges, I had a lot. Just going for it. Why don't you do it part time? Work here full time, and when you can, do this on the side. But I knew that if I didn't just go all in on it, that I wasn't going to be driven, and I was going to look for excuses or take excuses that would come my way for, you know, that okay, I'm tired. Maybe I don't want to do it on this day's off, or I don't want to. It'd be very easy to not push myself. And so I realized that, hey, in order to do this, I just have to go for it. So I did leave the mine on good terms, and I just said, hey, I'm going to go pursue something else. And in the back of my mind, I was hoping that maybe someday I would figure out a way to kind of make a connection with that same mine and do business with them. And so, and that worked out for me. So when I did leave, it was scary, but about 2 months after I left the mine and I was up and going, doing my thing, and it was still scary. The mine had a big layoff and hundreds of guys were laid off, and everybody at my pay grade was laid off. So I would have been laid off anyway, and I would have been out there having to travel or having to look up something else to do. So at that point, I felt really sick for all of my friends, but I just knew then that, hey, there's no looking back now. Like, I did the right thing. There's no reason to sit here and second guess myself. So at least I have something going for me here. So now I'll go ahead and pour myself into it. So that took away a lot of the fear for me. And it just helped me to be like, hey, okay, no looking back, press forward and get it going.
So you basically created your own fear rather than letting,
because
the company created all that fear for those guys, you know, and right. They weren't in control and it was sort of panic mode, I'm guessing, for a lot of them. I've been there multiple times, but so you created your own fear, which is that's the way to do it for sure. You know?
Right. Because I feel like I need a certain level of stress to get me moving. Like if I'm too comfortable or complacent, I know that I'm not going to put myself in gear to do what I need to get done. It's too easy to find excuses and things like that. And that's something I've always struggled with. And I know that's a weakness for me. So I just find that, hey, I'm going to, once I get sick and tired of being sick and tired, I'm going to do something about it and I'm going to go for it.
Yeah, that's inspiring. And just to let everyone know that's listening is I've been inspired by you and your brothers, you know, to actually start doing these podcasts, because I was just sitting on my butt going from job to job, and still I'm working for, you know, I still have a job. In fact, I interviewed and have a new job coming just to, you know, it's a little bit better base while I work on this other, you know, work on doing my things. You know, they're not as substantial as yours at this point, but they're coming. And I hate being comfortable, because when we're comfortable, man, you just don't go anywhere. And that's,
yeah, that's right.
Our whole world is comfortable, and the mediocre, average, middle class is just normal, and everyone's broke and everyone's working paycheck to paycheck. I don't say everyone, but you know, the majority of the people I know and hang out with, you know, we're scraping, you know, to live, and it sucks. It's a horrible way to live.
Right. It really is. And I think comfort is the trap. And it's, if you're starting to feel comfortable, then you're not pushing yourself. So, and I've heard that in other areas, and now I'm putting that into practice, and I find that it is so true. When I'm comfortable, then I'm just floating along and I'm pretty stagnant. But when I continually put myself out of my comfort zone, then I'm growing, then I'm striving to do something better, and I'm starting to get someplace. Instead of just sitting there comfortable, it's been very, very true for me. And also in this business too, it's not just the fact of getting into business, but then I have found also that same applies while I am in business. So if I'm just floating along, then that's all we're doing. And if too much of that though, and you quit floating. So it's like you have to continue to, I've found, continue to get out of your comfort zone and push yourself. And that is the times that we have felt the most growth. That is for sure. And along those lines, like when I was actually working up at the mine, we would have these big meetings that we'd all go in and sit at, and friends would be talking about me someday going off and doing my food thing. And friends would say to me, "Yeah, man, maybe someday you could get a contract with the mine and you could be feeding everybody at these events." And I was looking at these hundreds of guys and I was like, oh yeah, no, I can't even fathom how I would do that, because number one, I knew the food that we were having at these events was just really subpar. Nobody was happy with them. And they are a tough audience. This group of guys is pretty straightforward guys, and they don't like something, they're going to let you know. So to put on something quality for this many people all at one time seemed very daunting, to say the least. But by continually pushing ourselves, by trying to figure out new ways of doing things and better ways of doing things more efficiently, then you do grow. So like even like this week, we're preparing to do this week is we're doing 1,500 breakfast burritos for this mine over a 3-day period. So back when I was leaving them on good terms and hoping to someday have some kind of a relationship with them, I've been able to do that. And that has also expanded from there to relationships with other large corporations that then, you know, ask us to take care of their people during big meetings and different things like that. So, and all of that came around from going ahead and saying yes when it felt really scary, really uncomfortable, and commit to it and figure out how to do it later and continue to stay uncomfortable.
Exactly. And you know what I think else, what else has happened is a lot of these other coworkers you used to have are watching you and getting inspired. They may not be doing anything yet, but it's lighting a fire into them to maybe bust out and do their own thing and realize that there is something more than just being a slave to someone else your entire life.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it does happen that way. Just after the first of the year, somebody was at my window and saying, "Hey, is Milo back there?" And, you know, Alex was running the window and she's like, "Yeah, he's back here." And I said, "Hey, what's up?" And he's like, "Hey, I'm just, this guy was over there." And I don't know his name. I've seen him as a couple times, you know, quite a few times as a customer. And he's like, "Hey, it's my last day." I said, your last day? What do you mean? You're not coming here anymore?" And he's like, no. He's like, "I'm doing what you did. He's like, I'm quitting the mine. This is my last day up at the mine. And, I'm going to do what you're doing." And I was kidding around with him. I'm just like, "Well, you're going to sell breakfast burritos with BFL sauce?" He's like, no. And he's like, I'm starting my own business, man." He's like, "I driving by here every morning, seeing you doing this, man. You inspired me. And if you can do this, I can do this. I worked up at that mine for 16 years and it's enough. And I got to go do this for me now. And so I just wanted to stop in here and let you know that, man." And I was like, "Oh, wow, that is huge. That means everything to me. I mean, for me to, you know, I struggle in all my own little ways and days that are very tough and everything else. But to have that kind of an impact on somebody was pretty humbling."
Yeah. And you know what? You mentioned that you struggle all the time with, and it is hard. It looks like rosy from the sidelines, but it's hard. And I think, if when we're going through these tough times, letting people see that, because oftentimes I think we hide the hard parts and only show the icing on the cake versus all the labor it took to get there. And I think we can connect with a lot more real people by showing them, hey, sometimes it just sucks, but it's awesome and it's worth it still.
Right. Yeah, it is. It is worth it. Yeah, the level of freedom you have is a challenge, but it's also very worth it. And a challenge in the way that with the freedom that you have, it takes a lot of discipline to keep that all in check and do what you need to do. But the rewards are worth it.
So what do you for those who are trying this, or even myself who haven't made the leap to do my own thing, you know, this time I've had my own businesses in the past a couple of times, but when you're having a rough day, who do you have a coach? Do you have somebody you talk to, or how do you get through it? Or do you just do it yourself?
You know, a lot of what I do is honestly, there's a lot of times where I need a pep talk, and I start every day with a pep talk. And I, it kind of sounds maybe a little silly, but I get on YouTube first thing in the morning, probably within the first 10 minutes of getting out of bed. I get up at 1 a.m. I go in, I flip on the shower, I connect to a Bluetooth speaker, and I pull up something motivational, something positive, and that's how I start my day every day. And I get myself in that right frame of mind right off the bat. And then throughout the day, sometimes I am going back to that. I'm listening to something that is keeping me focused on working hard, on staying positive, all these types of things. And it's kind of like I just explored a bunch of different things on YouTube to where I found what my kind of what my niche is or what my thing is that I really like to hear. There's tons of stuff out there, tons of content out there that people are putting out. And it really covers everything for anything that you might need. And if anybody is, you know, needing that kind of a pep talk, I mean, just it's as simple as that, as going on something like YouTube and just doing a search for motivation or perseverance or any or staying positive or anything like that. And a lot of times it does sound kind of cheesy to be hearing other people saying this, but a lot of it helps me to keep things in perspective and to keep pushing forward.
I used to think it was all hoo-ha and fluffy cheerleading stuff, like the Tony Robbins and but you know what? The more I'm trying to do my own thing, that is absolutely critical, because if you don't feed your mind with that awesomeness, then your subconscious, who holds you back and tries to protect you, which is so ironic, we'll just take, you know, we'll just start sabotaging everything you do with your thoughts.
Yeah.
And, oh, you don't want to do that. I mean, the other day I was going to an event. This entrepreneur guy that I follow was speaking here locally. And so I was going to this event, and it took quite a bit of doing to get a ticket into this thing. And I was feeling all sorts of, oh, I don't really want to go. I'm feeling really uncomfortable. Maybe I'll get sick. Maybe the car will break down. All these ridiculous thoughts running through my head. And that's when it hit me. I'm like, you go to this thing, man, because you are uncomfortable, and be amongst people.
Right.
You're not, you know, they're all these little entrepreneurs, and I don't think I'm an entrepreneur yet. I'm a, what they call a wantrepreneur, because I'm working towards that. And I'm like, just go and be uncomfortable and just be you. And it was great. And I got some great information out of it. And it was just another hurdle, another psychological hurdle to get over, you know, because you, like say, your stupid subconscious, it's always trying to hold you back.
Yeah, it's true. And so, you know, and it is good to get out there and be surrounded by other people that are driven and are want something better. It's good to surround yourself with those kinds of people versus who we typically surround ourselves with. We surround ourselves with people who we feel like, you know, we're either there are our equals or even people who we feel like we're even a notch above them. And that makes us feel good, or something that we got our act together, but more than our friend does over there. But in all actuality, neither one of us have got our stuff together. So it's good to go out there and surround yourself with people who are driven. And if you are, you know, if you are the most successful guy in the room, then you're in the wrong room. So definitely, try to surround yourself with some good company and some good information being put out there. And it is true too, as far as like what you said about what you're consuming and what your subconscious does, because as I literally just consume nothing but positive information, when I go into the hard times, then if I'm just surrounding myself with people who complain about things or make excuses for things a lot, then that's my tendency in those hard times. But I find that now, as I deal with hard times, it's a lot easier to revert to something I heard, you know, that morning or during that day that is pushing me to be positive or pushing me to do the right thing and to build my business. You know,
Absolutely. You know, the sea of negativity is, it's massive. And just in the last few months, I'm trying to not be the negative guy that I've always been, the negative guy that my dad was and still is. And when you try to step out of that world, you realize how prevalent it is. It's everywhere. The conversations you hear in the store, in the lines, in elevators, on buses, wherever, is so dark, and people don't even realize it. For example, the other day I was taking my daughter to an early morning doctor's appointment. It's about 7 o'clock, and this amazing fog had settled over the valley. And you know, when it's really, really cold, it just adheres to everything. Every little stick and twig on a tree is covered with fog.
Right.
You know, the ice crystals. And it was so beautiful. And I think I did a YouTube video on the same topic, but we'll visit it again. And this woman came in, and she was like, oh, this fog is just horrendous. And oh, it's just terrible. I can't see anything. And people are just driving with their lights on. And she was just beside herself. And I'm like, wow, it's 7 o'clock in the morning and you are already just feeding your head with all this negativity. And another example this morning, or here in Utah, we had this pretty heavy duty snowstorm that's hammering us right now. And every media account is this horrible storm. Oh, run for the hills. It's the end of the world. It's horrible. I'm like, it's just snow, people. It's just snow.
Right.
It's not horrible. It's not bad. It's just weather. And it blows my mind. Right. And it's such a part of our normal everyday narrative that we don't even notice it.
Yeah. It's a habit. It's like a habit society has now is to complain about things. And it's not even, you know, it's something that I don't even think that society does consciously anymore. We all seem to just go to that with either dark humor or just negative little bits that we all come up with. And you know, I've gotten to where now I try not to, like, the very first thing I used to do is wake up and talk about how tired I am, or how, you know, I didn't get enough sleep, or things like that. And now I've just gotten to where, you know what, I don't even want to hear that from myself. Like, most nights I don't get enough sleep, but I'm not going to start off my day anymore thinking about how last night went, or whether I feel like I got enough rest. Like, I hope that I got enough rest, but whether I did or I didn't, it doesn't matter. Today is today. I'm not going to linger on that. I'm going to push forward with a good attitude and make the best of it. So it's those simple little things like that, that I have just decided that I don't even complain now when I'm really super tired. I mean, and sometimes I want to, and I catch myself though, and I'm doing a lot better with that. And just that, starting off by not dwelling on that first thing in the morning and just tackling my day, I've noticed a change throughout my day. So, like, for example, last night, I got to bed way later than what I usually like to. I got to bed after 8 o'clock, and I know that my alarm is going off at 1 a.m. to get up and go to work. And, you know, I got up and I've pushed through, and I haven't really dwelt on it at all. And I feel pretty decent. And it really is, you know, if you can control your attitude, you can control most things. So that's been the toughest thing for me, and one of the things that I feel like that has been helping me the most is just trying to control my attitude.
Yeah, if you can stop it at a thought at first, at least, then you're miles ahead of the game. Because I've been reading this other book called "You're a Badass at Making Money," and the lady she says, "What comes out of your mouth goes into your life."
And it's so true,
and it's, man, I'm constantly stopping myself from thought, even the thoughts that come into my brain. But that's just, you know, 40 years of conditioning that we have to shake. And it's just a daily battle, you know, but it's awesome. It's so worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. Just those little things like that can really make a difference.
Absolutely. Well, hey, Milo, I appreciate your time today. I definitely want to, you know, as you're progressing on your journey, you know, have another chat again about this and share it with whoever may be listening.
Yeah.
And And yes, so we'll definitely do that. So I appreciate your time today, and we'll be in touch again.
Great, great. Yeah, it's good talking to you.
And again, thanks everyone for listening, all of our six fans, and we'll chat with you guys again. Thanks again, Milo.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you again for listening to the Parish the Thought Show. We would love your comments and feedback on our website at briankeithparish.com/feedback. If you love or hate what you hear, please give us a rating on whatever platform you find us.